I'm telling you, Dave Fleming. I know Al Michaels is getting up there. I toss Dave's name in there for the Thursday Night Football. I know Joe Davis is up there. We love Joe Davis. He's the young hotshot. Dave, man, I can watch him listen to college, pro, amateur. You could probably call your softball game. It'd be a hell of a, I don't think he wants to do that.
I don't think he, wants to do that at all. Yeah.
Going for the Giants to that. And the Giants got a big win yesterday, obviously. And Dave is joining us here on the River Islands guest line. As all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line, isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? And Dave, we bring you in here, Spadonian for Bonte, alongside Joe Shasky. And the Giants get the win, but it was kind of a somber one for me because you get the news right before that Robbie Ray and Jordan Hicks both going on the IL. Tough blow for that rotation, Dave.
It is, and you know, we all know they're sort of running out of time to make one last final push, and you figure to do that, they probably need to be at full strength. So it goes. I mean, that's why in a lot of ways you can't dig yourself this big of a hole, because stuff happens. You know, it's a long, 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 grueling season, and guys are constantly getting hurt and coming back, and so the Giants, you know, it could be that the Giants just ended up being too far back to make that run when stuff like that happens. But I think, you know, we still get to watch the young guys pitch and play. And so for me, these last few weeks are providing, you know, not just an opportunity to stay in the race and watch some entertaining games. Last night was a very entertaining game, really good big league game, but also get some important development time experience for some of the guys you think are going to be a big part of it going forward.
Yeah, and I think, Dave, lost in the rage of like where they stand in the hierarchy of the National League, there have been good stories, and I don't want to be some homer or anything. Like, you know me, I get really salty with this team because I care so much. I know you care a lot. One guy that I feel like we're really underrating is Matt Chapman, and I don't know if you heard me in the last segment, but I went on this long soliloquy. I'm like, look, sometimes guys just fit organizations and they just fit where you're at as a team. And I want to see this team give this guy a 3-year deal. Now I know, or at minimum, a 3-year deal. I know who his agent is. I know there's going to be other teams bidding for his services. I don't care what it costs. You almost can't overpay in this situation. He is a great fit. I want Fitzgerald or whoever's on that infield to work with him every day. I want him to be that consummate professional for guys like Elliot Ramos, who's on the rise. Like, he's going to lead this team in hits. He's going to lead this team in doubles, maybe in home runs. Yeah, he might lead them in strikeouts as well, and runners left on base, and that's maddening at times. He's not a perfect player, but he's really good, and I feel like the last 3 months defensively at third, he's been outstanding. I want this team to plant their flag down and sign Matt Chapman. Am I wrong in feeling that way?
No, you're not wrong, and I think they will do it. I do. I think they agree with you. And you know what? I mean, I would like to, I'm with you. I would like him to just do it. Just don't mess around. Don't, you know, I mean, I'm not saying don't negotiate. I'm not saying you're, as a GM or a team president, it's your responsibility to try to make the best deal possible so you can make other moves and have maneuverability. But this is one where really, truly, I would like him just not to. Just don't mess around. Just whatever that number is to get it done. He wants to be here. Everybody around here wants to keep him. He is a good fit in the ballpark that we play in, where pitching and defense is going to have to be. I mean, I think that's obvious. The Giants have to build their franchise around those qualities. He's the best defensive player maybe I've seen in the last 20 years for the Giants. He's amazing. Wow. I think he's got an outside chance to finish his career and go to the Hall of Fame. I do. I mean, if you look at it, if you go by, you know, the Hall of Fame voters these days, they go often by WAR and some of those advanced sort of catch-all stats. He's up, he's getting close to 40 for his career. Like Buster Posey's at 55 or something like that. You know, the threshold where people become more locks is like 60. Is it impossible that he could have 3 or 4 more years similar to the one he's having now? No. And I think at that point, he would be a pretty darn good Hall of Fame candidate, which I don't think anybody realizes that about how well, this guy has played over a long period of time. Anyway, I agree with you. He's a good fit. He wants to be here. I think the team agrees with you, and I hope they get it done.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And I got to let that other part marinate for a second. You're telling a lot of truths there. I'm looking at the two young guys, right? Like Tyler Fitzgerald and Elliot Ramos, and both in different ways kind of came out of nowhere this year. But I'm looking at both these guys, and we'll get to Bailey in a second. That's a different story, but we'll get to Bailey in a second. I'm loving what I'm seeing. Fitzgerald's raking lefties, and since the All-Star break, he's maintaining this pace that he's been on. Elliot Ramos, every time you think he's going to go into a little slump, boom, he hits one to right center with unbelievable force, or he's driving one into the gap. I love the way these youngsters have responded to the adjustments of the league adjusting to them, and they feel like legitimate players on this team moving forward, Dave, like pillars.
Yeah, and when you look at them and evaluate the down cycles, like when you watch them struggle, Tyler Fitzgerald, it's been a rough road trip for him mostly. But you have to do it in the context of what's going on around the whole game. Like everybody is struggling other than a handful of superstar players. It's, you know, the offensive difficulties across the league are just extreme right now. And so when you watch guys who are going through it for the first time, all those things that you're talking about, learning, having to figure out how pitchers are attacking them. And it's really impressive what they've both done. Really impressive. And they have a lot of learning still to go. And part of that, you know, to me, a big part of it is not just the adjustments of like the one-on-one matchup with the pitcher, but also, how do you handle 162? How do you handle the rigors of a full big league season where the competition level is so high and where you're out there day after day after day? You got to build up, you know, whatever metaphor you want to use, you got to build up that callus or scar tissue of going through it for the first time and maybe pushing through some true fatigue so that the next time around, it feels a little easier. And that's what those guys are doing right now. And I'm with you. Look, both of them have some flaws as hitters. You know, both of them do have some weaknesses, but all but a handful of players in the history of the game do. And if you can accentuate your positives and stay away from your weaknesses and be a good all-around player like those two guys can be, you can be around for a long, long time.
Dave Fleming joining us here on the River Islands guest line. Spadoni in for Bonte Hill alongside Joe Shasky on the Morning Roast. And Dave, you know, whenever I just come in, I'm usually here at 5 in the morning, or actually I get here at 4:30 in the morning. I do the pregame show for an hour before handing it off to the Morning Roast, but Bonte's out this week. The first thing I do every day, I pull up the standings, right? Just pull it up, NL standings, where are we at the wild card? And it's just so maddening, and I just feel so frustrated if I'm a San Francisco Giants fan, because every single night, I swear to God, the Padres are winning in dramatic fashion. The Diamondbacks, I know they lost yesterday, but they're winning in dramatic fashion. Ketel Marte, oh, then there's Shohei Ohtani, 40-40. Is he going to be 50-50? The gap just has never felt wider right now between the Giants and then those top three teams now in the NL West, which still all have a chance to win that division. It's just frustrating, Dave.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'll put aside the Padres and the Diamondbacks, not because I don't think what they're doing is real. I do. Those teams are good, and they have a lot of young talent. But I think the frustration that you guys have talked about and that all Giants fans are feeling over not just this year but the last many years, so much of that is rooted on the Dodgers. And watching your rivals, the team you are desperate to beat year after year after year, play at such a high level. And that should be frustrating. And that should be, it should be infuriating for the Giants. And I hope it is internally. Like, that's the whole reason we're all here, is to try to compete against those guys. And for a decade now, it's not been a very fair fight. And that's, you know, that's not to say the Giants haven't had a lot of positive things this year and have made some progress in a lot of areas, but that gap does still feel wide, and they have to find a way to close that. The Dodgers have something really special going, and there are a lot of circumstances that all came together in, you know, in some ways in a very fortuitous way to set this whole thing up for them, but it exists and it's real. and I do believe a lot of the angst the Giants fans feel is rooted in that. It's not just the Giants sort of fits and starts. It's the prime competition and how good they have been, just relentlessly good over the last many years.
Yeah.
Patrick Bailey. It'd be one thing if I didn't see him go like stretches where he's raking, because he has multiple years now. He's had stretches where he's hitting and then he just falls off a cliff. Now, I know Buster historically, the numbers dipped in the second half, but not like this. And like, I guess it's one thing if he was like a 200 hitter the entire time, like, ah, maybe he just can't hit. You know what I mean? What has happened to Patrick the last couple of years in the final months of the season? And is this something that can be avoided in the future? Because I love some of the things he brings to the table, but I can't unsee the last 2 months of the year.
Yeah. I mean, obviously it's something they and he has to figure out, has to, because it erodes a lot of what makes him one of the best young players in the league. These prolonged, because it's not just a slump. It's like, you know, 2 months of four total hits or something like that. Mm-hmm. That's a little bit of an exaggeration, but it's really, really hard to be a contributor when your slumps are like that. So yeah, they got to work hard to figure out what's going on. There's no easy answer. I will say this. I think this year, the encouraging part about this year for me is his defense has not tailed off. Last year, it was kind of like an all systems failure. His first year as a big leaguer, the body broke down and the defense, you know, he committed all those errors at the end of the year. He was throwing the ball away. It just kind of all fell apart for him. That has not been the case at all this year. His defense has stayed at an extremely high level. So that tells me the conditioning work and the physicality has paid off in that regard. I think the body has held up a lot better. He says it has. When you ask him, and I've asked him a bunch of times, he says he's feeling good. So what does that tell me? I think part of this is being a switch hitter. And that's not to say that he shouldn't be a switch hitter. That's always who he's been. But I think it becomes more difficult when you have the responsibilities of being a catcher and you have two swings to maintain and something gets out of whack, it's just hard to get it back on track. And that's just my own, Patrick hasn't told me that. Pat Burrell hasn't told me that. That's just my own sort of sense of it's just hard when you're a switch hitter. And I do wonder if limiting his exposure to left-handed pitching as much as possible, being a little more proactive in that would maybe help. Like, the left-handed swing is the pure natural swing. That's where he does most of his damage. And maybe going forward, trying hard to get him as many at-bats as possible against right-handers and limit the at-bats against lefties. Maybe that's, you know, something that can help avoid what's happened these last 2 years. I still have a lot of faith in Patrick. I think he's going to be really good for a long time.
Yeah, JT Snow famously stopped batting right-handed toward the end of his career and just went lefty, and that worked out for him, you know, decently. Grant McCray, last year they brought up Wade Meckler out of nowhere, and poor Wade, we haven't heard from him since. But Grant McCray, I mean, it's only 40 at-bats, but I really like what I see. Is there a spot for him moving forward if he can kind of just maintain what he's doing?
It's a good question, really good question. Just one quick note, Meckler's back on the radar. Meckler had horrible, horrible injury issues early this year and was not himself and was out and came back and had to go back on the injured list. And he's looking more like himself. That's not to say that he's going to be a starting big league player in the next few weeks, but Wade has done a nice job of salvaging his season. He's on the Giants radar again. So just keep that in the back of your mind. It may not be sort of like a lost cause with him. As far as Grant McCray goes, here's the thing about Grant. Like, he is going to swing and miss a lot. There are holes in his swing that has cropped up from A ball all the way up to the big leagues. So you're going to have to live with some of that. But he clearly has aptitude. Like, he's learning fast and he's getting better in a way as he climbs. You know, his numbers were better in AAA than they were in AA, and right now they're better in the big leagues than they were in AAA. That's kind of hard to believe that's going to hold, but that's a good sign of a guy who's like a, he's a baseball rat. He's an incredible natural athlete. I think to answer your question properly about like the long-term fit for him, he does have power. That's one thing. Like you saw, see that home run last night. Like that's real power. That's not, he's got juice, but you don't look at him and think, well, that's a classic corner outfielder profile or something like that. So you got Jung-Hoo Lee, you have Elliot Ramos, you have Grant McCray. Like, can you offensively live with that outfield going into a season, sort of thinking our whole plan, our whole idea is we're going to have the best possible defensive team on the field and support our pitching staff that way and have as much athleticism as we can? Do you think you can eat with that as your plan, get enough offense? I don't know the answer to that question, but if he keeps playing like this, it's going to be a lot harder for the Giants to ignore the possibility of that being the case next year. He is a talented young guy. The same things apply to him in a different package, but that we've been talking about with Fitzgerald and Ramos. Like, bet on the athleticism, like, because he is extremely twitchy and fast and loose, and he's got great baseball instincts. We haven't even seen, Hunter and I were talking about a little bit last night, we haven't really got a chance to see his arm yet. He's got a big time throwing arm. He can do a lot of things on the field, a lot.
Dave, we appreciate the time as always, man. Best of luck on the call. Kyle Harrison, Freddie Peralta tonight. Should be a fun one.
Yeah.
Every start that Kyle and Birdsong make from here till the end is important for this franchise. Every one of them. And it's not to say the bottom line results are important, but these two guys are going to be a big part of their future. And this is like a playoff kind of game for Kyle Harrison against a really good team in a live ballpark, a team that wants to use the running game. And Kyle struggled with that this year. Like, tonight's going to be a big challenge for him. And it's a great learning experience. And so however the game goes, like, I really look forward to these two guys taking the ball. I think these are big time growth opportunities for both of them.
Just tell Kyle to watch the 2014 AL wildcard game and John Lester not throwing to first base and just say, don't do that and you'll be fine. How about that?
Yeah,
still staying. I mean, sorry, Dave.
Yeah, no kidding.
Appreciate the time, buddy. Man. You have a good morning.
Happy Labor Day.
Okay. Have a good weekend, guys.
Thank you.
You too.
Dave Fleming's the best. I love Dave.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!